23. Of course, there is nothing wrong with our phone, and my dad isn't even home, and I have already decided on my art project. And I made a total fool of myself with Kelsey. But none of this matters. All that matters is she said,
I'm glad you called, Bobby.
I can't help thinking she likes me. And even when this other thought comes into my head, the one that says, no, she doesn't. She likes Joe. I just push it away and bask in the light of her saying,
I'm glad you called, Bobby.
Monday rolls around, and I actually think about what I am going to wear to school, because I do not wish to appear to be a schlub, which Joe tells me means bumpkin. And when I ask him why he doesn't just say bumpkin, he tells me because nobody knows what a bumpkin is, like they know schlub. Anyway, whenever he sees me with my shirt hanging over my pants, this being a favorite style of chunky people everywhere, he goes,
Bobby, you look like a schlub.
For Kelsey, I do not wish to appear schlub-like. I put on the coolest shirt I own and tuck it in. I am hoping Kelsey will race over to my locker first thing and tell me,
I'm glad you called, Bobby,
just so I can hear those words again for real, instead of in my head over and over. But she does not, although she does smile at me for more than a nanosecond, closer to 2 nanoseconds, and she waves. These 2 small gestures practically cause cardiac arrest, so I am thinking that it is perhaps for the best that she does not race over and say anything. Otherwise, I would be dead, and the story would end right now. Of course, the story does not end right now. You could say the story will not end for a long time, until I am dead, in fact, because this is the story of my life. Except that the part I am choosing to tell you is just a little piece of it. When you're living through it, though, especially when you are 12 and you think the whole world is changing until you realize it isn't the world, it's you, no piece seems little. It's also big, you think it can kill you, but it doesn't, which is why the story goes on. At lunch, Addie keeps switching channels between Colin, does he or doesn't he know we're going out together, and are we or are we not going to the dance together, and the election, how am I ever going to get my speech written, Bobby, are you listening, you promised to help me. To make matters worse, I keep tuning out, because I am checking out the other end of the cafeteria, where Kelsey is sitting with Amy and Evie, who are her only 2 friends, probably because they are also shy. I wonder what they talk about, if they even talk. Anyway, I keep hoping that I will see her stand up, so I can wave to her. Then I worry that if I raise my arm to wave, Roger Elliott, who is sitting at the next table, will notice that I have these huge sweat stains, which I do not know if I even have, and will yell out, "Look at Bobby's pits!" And everybody in the whole cafeteria will get to laughing. And so finally, I turn around and forget about the whole thing.
"Well,"
Addie goes, all huffy,
"it's about time you started paying attention."
"Yes, Wendy," I say, to which Skeezy winks at me, and Addie clicks her tongue.
"Well, all I can say is, Kel relieved she likes you."